Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
Hey, Lulu here. Whether we are romping through science, music, politics, technology, or feelings, we seek to leave you seeing the world anew. Radiolab adventures right on the edge of what we think we know, wherever you get podcasts.
Today on The Brian Lehrer Show, a different kind of freedom summer. Black Democrats may have helped Mississippi Congressman Thad Cochran survive yesterday's Republican primary against the Tea Party challenger.
You are the ones who helped reach all the voters, make sure that we knew that they were important to this election.
A little bit indirect, speaking to his closest supporters in his reference, but you get the idea. We'll talk to Jason Riley, black conservative member of the Wall Street Journal editorial board, later about those strange racial bedfellows and Riley's new book aimed at liberals called Please Stop Helping Us. Also today, do you Google your dates? We'll hear a call for Google abstinence until you know someone for a while. Plus, the Supreme Court's late June decision dump. It continues at this hour. We will look at what the justices are saying is or isn't constitutional about global warming policy, sports betting in New Jersey. We may get the contraception coverage in Obamacare decision in a few minutes and more. But first, that other primary election, a lot closer to home than Mississippi. Congressman Charles Rangel and State Senator Adriano Espaillat have woken up in their upper Manhattan homes without an official winner in their congressional primary.
We have reviewed the results as they continue to come in, and we feel this race is too close to call.
Yeah, AP feels that way, too. Espaillat not conceding defeat, despite Rangel's 1,800 vote, 4 percentage point lead, and his declaration of victory. WNYC's Bridget Bergen has been covering the race and the results, and she joins us now. Hi, Bridget.
Good morning.
And listeners, you can follow along on the WNYC results page. WNYC data news editor John Keefe and his data news team have created a fantastic map that shows the demographic breakdown of the counted votes in this mostly black and Latino 13th congressional district, where demographic change is a key dynamic, although the white vote was pretty interesting here, too. We'll talk about it. Go to WNYC.org to see the results map and follow along. Data news editor John Keefe also joins us. Good morning, John.
Hi, Brian.
And seriously, listeners, I'll say it one more time. If you're around a computer or a smartphone, check out that results page and follow along in a minute when I'll ask John Keefe to give us a little tour through the map of the district to explain the demographics of who voted how in more detail. It's really interesting. Bridget, Rangel is declaring victory, but Espaillat is not conceding. What's going on?
Well, at this point, the Espaillat campaign is saying the lesson they learned from the 2012 race was that every vote must be counted. And while the margin is about 1,800 votes, there are outstanding absentee and affidavit ballots that have not been counted yet. Now, the number of those ballots becomes a real issue here. The Board of Elections told me this morning that they sent out, I'm looking at my numbers so that I get it exactly right, they sent out 3,516 absentee ballots. That's the number that were distributed. So far, they have had 1,242 returned. Of that, 980 were deemed valid. That means they confirmed that the voter actually lived in the district, was registered with the party. They haven't counted the votes yet. Now, absentee ballots can continue to come in through the end of this week. They just had to be postmarked yesterday. But that would mean that a lot of those ballots, the vast majority, would need to go to Espaillat for him to make up that gap.
Because the margin, John Keefe, as data guy, the numbers are interesting here. It's one congressional district, and it's a June primary with low turnout. So there were about 4,000 votes in this whole, or how many votes roughly were there in this whole election?
Cast totally were 47,700, almost 47,800.
About 47,000, 48,000
yeah.
votes. And the margin of victory, if you look at it in the headlines this morning, is 4 percentage points, which sounds like a lot, But then in a turnout that small, it's less than 2,000 votes.
Right. It's 1,800 votes. And it's interesting, more people voted this time than they did in 2012, by about 4,000 votes, actually. So it's possible for somebody to make those numbers up. Although I think Bridget's point is clear.
And your point about those absentee ballots and affidavit ballots, which are ones that are questioned as the person is trying to cast the vote in person yesterday, it's that such a large majority of those ballots would have to go to Espaillat, such a larger majority than he got in the overall vote.
Exactly.
And he didn't get a majority in the overall vote that had been counted so far, that it's statistically unlikely.
An election lawyer described it to me this morning as a Herculean task for him to make up the ground to close that gap.
But you said he wanted to learn the lesson of 2 years ago that every vote should be counted. Remind everybody what happened 2 years ago.
2 years ago, the gap was 1,086 votes. We have rounded up to 1,100 often. And it took the Board of Elections 2 weeks to certify those results. Now, the Board of Elections has a counting process, the formal counting process that begins now, where they open the machines and they take all the paper ballots that were affidavit ballots out. But 2 years ago, that gap that on election night, the results that came in made it seem as though Rangel had won by far more.
Uh-huh.
And by the morning, that gap had narrowed.
Uh-huh. So is there something in the population likely to cast absentee ballots that does greatly favor Espaillat? Is that what 2012 teaches us? And so it's something to keep an eye on in the coming days?
I think that right now what we're hearing is a campaign that is processing the results that have come in. What election experts tend to say is that the paper ballots, percentage-wise, reflect the same breakdown as the machines. So that doesn't necessarily favor Espaillat.
John, take us into your map. What's the demographic headline?
I think the demographic headline is, for one, it looks a lot like it did 2 years ago. Not a whole lot changed. But basically, any election district that was east of Amsterdam Avenue went for Rangel. And it's the demographic breakdown is sort of as you'd expect.
And we should say, you know, I'll tell people who aren't intimately familiar with this district that it starts on the south end in Morningside Heights around Columbia University on the west side, goes up the entire rest of the west side of Manhattan through Hamilton Heights, Washington Heights, Inwood, has some East Harlem, which is, I think, what you're referring to, east of Amsterdam Avenue, and then into a little bit of the Bronx, Kingsbridge, Fordham Road area a little bit.
Yeah, basically all of Harlem, like all of Harlem, went to Rangel. There were a couple districts that went to Espaillat. There was one district that went to Michael Walrond, and that was the one that was where his church. He's a pastor at the church, and where his church is located, he got that one district. But otherwise, it really follows these sort of racial sort of Black Harlem, but also the Puerto Rican East Harlem, right? That all went for Rangel, and that was something that was discussed early. Bridget did a story about it. We had looked into it. Would the Puerto Rican vote change? Melissa Mark Viverito came out for Espaillat. Would she pull her area toward him? Looks like she didn't.
Does that mean that there was a split between the Puerto Rican vote and the Dominican vote?
From what we can tell, yeah. There's often, and partly this is because of census numbers, right? The city is divided into white, Black, Hispanic, right? And so how'd the Hispanic vote go? And in fact, the large majority of the Hispanic vote went for Espaillat.
Right.
But if you drill down, really, it's the Dominican neighborhoods that went for Espaillat. The Puerto Rican neighborhoods, or those that have a pretty significant Puerto Rican population, went for Rangel.
And, of course, Espaillat, being Dominican and would be making history as the first Dominican member of the United States Congress. And it looks to me, looking at your map, like Rangel did better in majority Latino precincts in general than Espaillat did in Black majority precincts.
Yeah, I think, let's see. Well, I can tell you that in the Hispanic majority districts, 32% of the vote went for Rangel. So that's Hispanic majority overall. And in the black majority districts, 15% went for Espaillat. So I think what you're saying is exactly right.
And then we get to the white districts. What percentage of the vote, if you have that, was presumed to be white voters?
I don't have that particular breakdown, although, let's see, I can tell you the vote. So it's about, in terms of the number of votes that were cast, it's about a quarter.
About a quarter. And I don't know if, of course, they don't ask you your ethnic background when you go to vote. So I guess the best measure that you have generally is the precincts and whether they're considered majority white precincts. Right.
So we go in and we look at every precinct and we know from census data what the majority in that district is.
And so if I'm reading your map right, white majority precincts went strongly for Espaillat against Rangel.
Yeah. About 58% of the vote in those districts went for Espaillat, and 37% of the vote in those white majority districts went for Rangel. That's true. It should be noted that most of those districts are also in Espaillat's state senate district, right? So that's something to consider, too. He already has quite a presence in those areas.
Though it's also in Rangel's congressional district from the past, so people may have experience voting for Rangel and voting for Espaillat, but maybe that favored Espaillat in this case for whatever reason. And here is Congressman Rangel from last night on the demographic changes in the district.
It shows the changes that have taken place in America. And I think it shows that we're going to have to work together if we're going to move forward together.
So, Bridget, does that reaction suggest anything about what Rangel does in Congress with a majority Latino district different from when it was majority black before the redistricting of 2 years ago? If he does anything different, maybe there really aren't very discernible different interests.
I think the congressman made a very concerted effort this year to reach out across the district. Another difference from 2012 is that Congressman Rangel was actually on the campaign trail. 2 years ago, he was just coming off some serious health problems. He didn't really mount a campaign. And so this year, he was all over the district. He was in East Harlem. He was in Washington Heights. He was in the Bronx. He was in Central Harlem. And he was really trying to say that, you know, it would serve his constituents across the district better to have him there to finish out the last two years of President Obama's term, and that his representation benefits his constituents because of his seniority and the relationships he has with senior leaders across the House. I think one of the other things he said last night was that he wants his successor to be someone who can represent the whole district. And sort of taking a shot at Senator Espaillat, made the comment that, you know, this person needs to be able to represent the whole district and not just a piece of it. And, you know, I think it's fair to interpret that as saying that Senator Espaillat was campaigning with this potential for being, you know, a historic first Dominican American in Congress as part of his campaign.
Oh, here's a Supreme Court headline that just came down. Apparently, Aereo has been ruled illegal. So that service that takes television signals off the air and then tries to distribute them to you online as an online service is stealing ABC, NBC, CBS, Fox content, apparently, according to the Supreme Court. This headline that I'm seeing, we're going to get details on that later in the program, Aereo users and everyone else, and see what else the Supreme Court is doing on one of their last decision days as they are there at least handing out packets to reporters this morning, if not sitting on the bench. But we're talking right now about the Rangel-Espaillat congressional primary in Manhattan and the Bronx, still too close to call here at 10:13 the next morning. I heard you before on Morning Edition, Bridget Bergen, describing the scene at Rangel headquarters, and it actually sounded quite moving and emotional. Where was it? Who was there?
The event was at Taino Towers in the gymnasium on the ground floor. Taino Towers is a subsidized housing development in East Harlem. And so you had this crowd of people who started trickling in starting at 9. And by the time Congressman Rangel walked into the gymnasium, you know, shortly after 11 o'clock, he walked in with his wife, Alma. It was a really pretty raucous scene. He walked up on the stage, and basically every supporter who's ever endorsed him stood there behind him. There were so many people on that stage that at one point it actually cracked. And you could see everyone kind of looking around, steadying themselves, trying to decide, like, is it okay to be up here? But they stood there, and then, you know, the congressman talked to the crowd about, you know, should I call this? Should we declare? And he had this kind of conversation with everyone for about an hour while he brought up speakers, you know, the likes of Mayor David Dinkins, who joked that the only one happier than Congressman Rangel last night was him. And he also declared that he was running in 2016. So there was a lot of kind of, it was good humored. And I think Congressman Rangel was taking full advantage of the fact that this was, is, should be his final campaign victory speech.
You mean Dinkins was joking that he, Dinkins, would be running for this seat in 2016 instead of Rangel. And then Rangel gave this hour-long, exuberant speech from the stage that broke under the weight of so many supporters. Here's 40 seconds.
Wait. Okay, we're going to wait. You know, there's nothing like political experts.
Hold his hand up like the chair.
When you lose, they say, my God, why didn't you come to me earlier? When you win, you have to say, we couldn't have done it without you. In any event, we all stuck with this close election. We all thought it was going to be close. We all are glad we're on this side of the numbers, right?
So his campaign theme song was Happy, which kept coming on repeatedly, even though he hadn't fully declared, until finally, after over an hour of talking to the crowd, being on television, thanking everyone, he gave his final thank you, and he said, you know, I don't know what else to say, but good night, sweetheart. And then he actually got ready to leave the stage.
Good night, Gracie. And here's something else that he said to his wife, as he went to the polls yesterday on what he says is going to be his last election.
I told my wife this morning, and I could hardly believe that I said it because it wasn't thought out. But I say, honey, this is the last time I will be voting for me.
Does he mean it, though? Because lots of politicians have pulled Brett Favre's, if you know what I mean, and retired a few times and then took it back a few times.
So that comment actually came after his hour-long speech at the campaign.
Okay.
So he did a little scrum with reporters. And when he said that, he was standing right next to his wife, Alma, who was then a reporter immediately asked, are you buying your tickets to Paris tomorrow? She's wanted to go to Paris, and they've talked about how if he wins, they're going to take a trip to Paris. She immediately said yes. He chimed in very quickly, maybe not tomorrow, but they plan to take that trip soon, and I think he's made a firm commitment to his family that he's not running again. He said 2 years ago that that was his last race, but I think there's been so many public statements this time around. You know, not only would there be some institutional support that would probably not be there, but I'm not sure his wife would be very happy with that.
He's how old now?
He is 84 years old.
He's been in Congress for how long?
44 years. This is going to be his 23rd term.
A founding member of the Congressional Black Caucus.
That's right.
What does Charles Rangel mean to history? What do people tell? What do people up there say Charles Rangel meant to history?
When you're up in the district, people, there are people who will talk about how they haven't known anyone except for Charles Rangel. Charles Rangel is Harlem to them. And I think they have seen how much Harlem has changed. Some people think that's a good thing. Some people talk about how affordable housing is under such pressure and how there are small businesses that are being squeezed out by some larger big box stores. And there's certainly some concern there. But I was at an event of his on Saturday that turned into a little bit of a block party. And there's still this deep affection for him among a certain crowd of people who just, you know, look at him as someone who has, you know, triumphed 20, now three times, and has meant a lot to the district.
Now, the hard politics, before you go, of the decision that Espaillat has to make. there's a timeline here, as you were describing. The absentee ballots can keep trickling in if they were postmarked by yesterday. They wouldn't start really counting them until next Tuesday,
that's
correct?
Right. Right.
But if Espaillat wants to keep his current seat in the state Senate, then he's got another set of pressures, right?
That's right. He's up against another deadline. So July 10th is the next date that will be on Espaillat's calendar if he decides to run for re-election in his current Senate district. He needs to collect 1,000 valid signatures from within his district, valid meaning the person's a registered Democrat, and they can't have signed a petition for any other candidate. And that becomes interesting because in his Senate district, there is another candidate. Former city councilman Robert Jackson is formally launching his campaign tomorrow with a rally. You know, this is another well-known figure in politics in this area. He was at Rangel's party last night. This will not be an insignificant challenge to Senator Espaillat should he decide to run for re-election. The longer he waits for the both absentee and affidavit ballots, we don't have a number on those yet, to be counted, you know, the longer he's not collecting signatures, he's not building momentum for this potential primary race.
Primary in September, because here we are under the new election law in New York State where primaries for federal offices, basically meaning Congress, or if there's a presidential primary or a U.S. Senate primary, they now happen in June, as happened yesterday for this congressional seat. The primaries for state offices, state legislature, any New York City offices, things like that, still happen in September. So voters have to have a lot of democracy stamina and at least be willing to turn out to the polls twice to vote in all the primary elections that are available. So that's why Espaillat might still be in another primary election for his current Senate seat if he chooses to run for re-election there by that July deadline, as you described, if in fact he winds up officially losing to Rangel. John, any last word from you? John Keefe, our data news team leader, on how people should look at the map you made of last night's results?
Well, I think one thing, and apropos to your discussion just now, the line, and it's unfortunately, it's not on our map. CUNY has a good map on this, and we could put it up. But the line for Espaillat's current Senate district almost exactly follows the election districts that he won. In some places, it's exactly the border between where he won and where he lost. And so he clearly has strength in his district, and it's just showing up in that map. How that plays out in the next sort of decisions and the next primary, if he runs, will be pretty interesting. But he's working clearly here, for at least from some sort of position of strength.
WNYC data news editor John Keefe, WNYC political reporter Bridget Bergen, thanks a lot.
Thank you.